mean, first of all, thanks for choosing us over Lizzo.
This is all about to see what you can and can't do. And when you compete in our league, it'll tell you.
And welcome back to yet another edition of the 920 podcast. I'm your host, Logan Quinton, joined alongside Bill Monnett. We're here to take a little bit of a look back at the amazing series between Kentucky and Tennessee, but our main focus will be on the Vols as they host the Missouri Tigers. Bill, how are you doing on this fine evening?
Oh, I'm doing great. I hope you are as well. And it's always a good evening when you hear Waylon on the intro music there.
Oh, as always. And a perfect little Omaha nod. 920 miles to Omaha. The bus is got good vibes again. We mentioned it last week, last episode. I mean, Bill, it was just a couple of weeks ago when we're trying to figure out, hey, can this team get to 17, 18 wins? That would be a really nice resume. And now it's looking, heck, you sweep Missouri, you're at 15.
Yeah. And you're right where you wanted to be. And, you know, going to Kentucky, there were some questions from both sides. And I think we got a lot of answers from both sides, both the Tennessee side and the Kentucky side as well. But you're right, that winning the series, winning 2 out of 3, really put Tennessee in a good position where they don't have to play super, super baseball the rest of the year. As long as they play steady and, you know, get to that 17-18 win plateau, they're going to be in great shape to be a top 8 seed and be a host of the regionals and super regionals.
Yeah, you said it. They don't really need any style points. They just need to take care of business, really, for lack of a better term. I mean, just especially if you get the sweep this weekend, which – I mean, that's sort of what I'm expecting. I mean, we'll talk about it. Missouri could probably put together something for one game to make it interesting. But by all means, Tennessee is a massive favorite going into this weekend. Right. And if you do pull off the sweep, then, yeah, barring a monumental just, you know, running flat and rolling into the finish line as you go into Hoover, I mean, they should be in really, really good shape.
Before we talk about Kentucky, I want to do I don't do shout outs very often, okay? But I need to tonight. I need a shout out to the mayor of Hotown over in Middle Tennessee, who told me he listens to us every week on one of his drives. So we appreciate the mayor, the fine mayor over there listening to us. And there are a lot of folks like that who've told me, hey, I had a chance to listen to you. I've turned you on while I'm driving or turned you on while I'm working. So a lot of folks are here in this podcast, and we're very appreciative that they think enough of us to tune in and listen.
Yeah, you never know where it comes from. We've seen a lot of that, picked up a lot of new followers this season as well. Credit to you, Bill, for being a part of that. And yeah, that's special. That's what makes it when you're kind of going through this grind. Because for me, this is what it is. This is my grind of the year as we inch closer to Hoover and then tournament play and everything. I've been studying this stuff since, you know, January, and really it's just about an all-year process for me. But yeah, when you really get into the nitty-gritty and you can feel, and especially a year like this where there's a lot of parity. Yep. And you're trying to make sense of what is what, a lot of moving parts. When you get those shout outs and those DMs from people, and then fans, when you meet fans at the stands and parents of some of these players, that's what makes it special.
It is. It makes it all worth the effort, the time, the research. And you said you've been looking at this since January. I know better than that. Maybe 3 or 4 Januaries ago. But this is a year-round thing for you. You do a great job with it. But you know, Tennessee goes. They win 2 out of 3. Yeah, it was a very good weekend. Could have been a great weekend if you can handle a hot ground ball, but they didn't. But you still go and do something nobody else has done this year. You win a series against Kentucky and at Kentucky to boot. So, you know, I have to say, all in all, you know, what a terrific weekend for Tennessee.
It was. And I think Tony said it best in one of the postgame. I guess it was the postgame after Sunday. The series was very, very tight. This was – you know, I said something to the effect going into the series about, you know, two styles make a fight. And that's what this was. It was kind of a heavyweight match, two contrast of styles. But and what Tennessee was able to do Saturday and Sunday, after having, like you said, on that Friday night, one play could have made all the difference in a big swing. But they really didn't let that they didn't carry that weight around into the second game. They got out and got it done. And then Sunday, man, that was the game I was able to go up for. I wanted to go up for the whole series, but I had a family event on Saturday. And so that was sandwiched in, obviously, between Friday and Sunday. Able to get up there Sunday on a quick trip up there and back, and I'm glad I did. It was a chilly, very windy day at Kentucky Proud Park, but man, what a game. It's going to be a while before I forget that one. That was just all the swings and in momentum and in terms of the runs. You get down in a 6-2 hole, and then, you know, when the swings start happening, you're thinking, it was kind of like that Georgia game a couple of weeks back. You're thinking, lead is safe.
You think you're done. The whole thing is, you know, it's, you know, the whole key to me to the weekend. No, all we've heard all year long was Kentucky, small ball team, made to play in their ballpark, all that stuff. Well, guess how many stolen bases Kentucky had over the three-game series? You probably know this, but I'll go ahead and let the cat out of the bag. They had two. How many did Tennessee have? Two. How many runners picked off did Tennessee have? Zero. How many runners picked off did Kentucky have? Three. Two by the pitcher and one by Cal Stark. So small ball never really did come to fruition from Kentucky. I mean, they were just like Tennessee. They scored a lot of runs on home runs during the weekend. So from everything we heard about Kentucky, we didn't really see that from Tennessee. Tennessee did a good job of controlling the base runners and keeping the base runners in check.
Yeah, and it's, you know, focusing on those areas that you don't really think about, or a lot of folks outside or just tune into Tennessee from time to time, they may not realize. You mentioned Cal Stark. A guy like him, man, that's just – it's so valuable to have when you get a back pick here and there and the emotion that he carries with him into the game, the batting average won't jump at you, you know, off the box score, but his presence with the pitchers – his communication in the field and his awareness, a guy like that, man, can really make a difference. And yeah, it might not be a team that plays small ball, but a team that focuses on some of those areas that are often overlooked. You add that to what's already a component of just an otherworldly offense and lineup to deal with, and some pitching too. I mean, that can make all the difference in the world.
You know, I'm normally, as I watch a ball game, pretty laid back guy. You know, it's part of being a baseball fan. I'm pretty laid back. But when Cal made that pick, I mean, as a former catcher, I literally came up out of my seat and cheered that one, because that was just it was perfectly done right there. Cal made a perfect throw, great tag by Blake Burke there at first. So, you know, those are the plays that at this point, at this level of college baseball, of any baseball, at the top level, those are the plays that make the difference between winning and winning big.
Yeah, and you do it on the road. Yep. So it's what a win. What a weekend win it was for Tennessee. They will go from tussling around with the Wildcats to trying to sweep the Missouri Tigers. I feel pretty good about a weekend win this time around with Missouri. You know, you look up and they've won six. They're 6-12. Bill, I thought that they were going to struggle to get to six by season's end. So, you know, it's nothing comes completely easy in this league. Missouri, you know, 19-23 overall, 6-12 in conference. Kerrick Jackson comes in as the head man his first year, coming from Memphis. He had kind of a watermark moment last year with Memphis. They won 29 games. It was the most in several years for that program. Missouri went ahead and plucked him. This is a guy that's been at Missouri before. He replaced Tony Vitello way back when.
On the staff,
and by the way, Tony knows a lot of staff on this squad. And it's, if you heard the post game comments, you know, Tony was not mentioning these guys by any means when he mentioned the previous regime, and He had some pointed words at that quote previous regime at Missouri while he was there. Not shy about that, but he gave a hat tip to Kerrick Jackson and a couple of guys he's put together for this Missouri squad. Jackson, by the way, has worn many hats. He's been an area scout. He was a Scott Boras player agent. He had a stint as the head man at Southern, but he's kind of kept his roots in the Midwest and just guy with a lot of connections. Tony, and in the words of Tony Vitello, this is a team and a program that Jackson's going to lead, that's going to play hard and play the right way. So that part of the deal, there was some respect coming from Vitello to the Missouri program as they look to revamp things under the Jackson regime. Missouri has wins over Kentucky, Georgia, LSU, and a sweep of Florida.
However, that happened. Yeah, that's all you need to know right there. They swept Florida, and up until this past weekend, they were the only SEC team to have a win over Kentucky. So, you know, that tells you they're capable of putting it together. You know, they're just like everybody else in the league. They've got a good number one starter, whether we think we're going to – I think we're going to see them on Thursday, if not Thursday, on Friday. But they've got a good number one starter that, you know, when he's on, you know, they can beat anybody they play.
Yep. And they're 9-1 9-5 in the month of April. They've been at the bottom half, at the very bottom or bottom half of the league in offense. That's the struggle bus for these Tigers. And right. it's not much better from the mound, but like you said, Bill, we'll talk about it in the weekend rotation. They've got two or three guys. If they can just, you know, mix and match together, they can put together, as they've shown on their resume, for a game over the weekend, they can put something together.
Yeah, and everybody in the SEC basically has that capability. Whether they do it or not, everybody has that capability in Missouri, you know, one of those teams there. Now, from my perspective, you know, I know it's a new regime, you know, all that stuff. I know there's a lot of new players, but I am hoping that the older players, the guys that were there last year, that went to Missouri in that freezing cold and didn't want to be there, I hope they remember that, and I hope they remind the younger guys of that. You know, sometimes you got to have a chip on your shoulder. This is one of those weekends, I think, for Tennessee where they need a chip on their shoulder to show Missouri what happened last year, what that wasn't the norm. This is going to be the new norm.
Hey, and you know a name that might be most beneficial in that regard, Dalton Bargo.
Dalton Bargo, I have to got it right here on my list. Yeah, yeah. Look for him to play a major role this week, some way, somehow. You know, does that mean he's going to go? You know, he's going to pull a CMO from last weekend? No, but I have a feeling that Dalton Bargo is going to do something that's going to help this team get a win or two or three this weekend.
Yeah, the Tigers hitting just 205 in SEC play. But I will mention, there's not a lot that jumps off of the page, but Brock Daniels is an interesting one for me. He's a utility guy that had a very slow start, but once SEC play was ramping up, that's when he started to get hot. He's hitting .359 in SEC play with 21 total bases. He's very interesting. He was at Oklahoma originally, then transferred over to Missouri. He only logged one at bat for Missouri last year, and now he's forming into – he's like by season's end, he's going to be a – I guess I'll call it a three-quarters player. He's at like 75 bats or so, but I think he's going to log enough from now till the end. You know, he might be able to get to 150, but I see him going forward as a guy that they can rely on, a utility guy with a hit tool and a knack for getting an extra base. He's one to watch, not just in this series, but going forward under the Kerrick Jackson regime. But Tennessee, as far as their offense is concerned, total contrast, right? So we're going to talk about the Tennessee offense, and it's easy to talk about for our Hot Works, Hot Hand segment. Who else? I mean, Simo, right? I mean, 9 RBI last weekend. He's the reigning national player of the week. What can you say? What is there not to say about Simo?
He just did it all last week. And, you know, you look up and you know, I hate to say it, but We almost expect them to have those kind of weekends every weekend now, which totally isn't fair, but we're not surprised when he does. The guy's just been steady all year long, and his his play defensively, I think, has been a little underrated this year. He's made some really outstanding plays as well. So, you know, just a guy who, you know, when he goes out there, you know, he's going to will his team to have a chance to win by making plays and getting the big hits. You know, it's not just he gets hits. He gets big hits when a team really needs a lift. So, yeah, what can you say about the guy? He's just, you know, one of the best college baseball players in the country right now, period.
Yeah, and to have him be able to lead off with this group just kind of sets the tone. And he's such an ambush hitter and aggressive, and he's able to back it up. I mean, there's historically been a little bit of swing and miss concerns with him. He's cleaned that up just enough, but it's, you know, his approach and his ability. He leads. I mean, he has a career high in home runs now.
Yeah.
And 45 RBI from the leadoff spot. I mean, there was a point in time, Bill, not that long ago, maybe just a few weeks ago, when you kind of look at the stats and you're like, yeah, those, you know, some of the surface stats are a little bit down because he's batting leadoff. And, you know, the RBI category, if he'd been doing this all year, I mean, you're talking about National Player of the Year mention.
Yeah, there was a time early, I remember, I looked at his stats. He had like 10 home runs and only 19 RBI.
Yeah,
and that was a little bit concerning. But you know, that's long behind him now, and long behind the team as he's just exploded with his RBI numbers are way up. Of course, his home run numbers are way up. And you know, we've talked about how deep this Tennessee batting order is, but you know, the reason it's able to be so quote unquote deep is because you got Simo and Blake Burke hitting 1-2, getting on base. If they're not driving each other, not driving Simo in, somebody behind them has a chance to drive those two guys in. So it's so key to have those two guys hitting 1-2, performing as well as they are, getting on base, so you can give Amick and Tears and Dreiling et al. An opportunity to drive in those runs.
Yeah, mentioning Burke, he extends his hit streak to 31 with the victory over Western Carolina. He's hitting .416 in the SEC. You know, there was a lot of questions coming in to this season for Blake Burke, and it was a lot of talk about, you know, does he have that opposite field ability to drive the ball consistently? The strikeout rate was high. Strikeout rate is down this year. He's going oppo, I mean, seemingly, you know, two out of every three times. It's been a wonder to watch. But most importantly, what jumps out to me is his stats in SEC play. Now we've got an allotment of games where it's a healthy enough sample to realize that, you know, this, it's going to stick. You know, this, what he's doing right now is just phenomenal. I mean, you compare these numbers in the SEC versus last year in the conference. I mean, just staggering difference. And we saw it. We've saw that.
They're not comparable. Yeah, they're one extreme to the other. And, you know, 416 over halfway through the SEC schedule, you know, that's just not done very often.
No, it's not. And, you know, as great as Simo and Blake Burke have been, 15 home runs, 48 RBI from Dylan Dreiling. Is that the quietest stat line that you can possibly have just because you're blanketed by Blake Burke and Simo?
Absolutely. And a couple of the homers that he and Tears hit over the weekend were just flat lasers. They were into that corner, into the bullpen, literally before you could turn your head and look. It's incredible the swings those two guys are getting on the baseball right now.
Five guys with 14 home runs or more, and we have four more weekends to go of the regular season.
Yeah, yep. And before anybody says they play in a small home ballpark, they were at Kentucky this weekend. It's not like they're hitting 305-foot home runs. It's just an incredible home or the road. It doesn't matter. This team's going to hit home runs, and they're going to hit long home runs no matter where they play. So, you know, that myth of small ballpark thing, I'm tired of hearing it.
Yep. No cheapies from this crew. But I'll tell you what you can get for a really good deal. We'll roll right out of the Hot Works segment by telling you about Small Business Appreciation Month. It starts May 1st, and Hotworks is going to celebrate April 28th through May 4th. If you own a local small business here around town, get with me, get with Hotworks. They're going to host you for a free workout. All you have to do is post on social media about it, and they will in turn post about your small business. So we've got that going on. Also, the Summer Body Series is underway. There's tons of rewards and benefits that you can gain, not just with yourself physically and mentally, but also, this is why I love Hotworks. They make it easy for you to achieve rewards to where you can put that towards the retail store that they have, or you can put it, like, this is the route I like to go. You can put it towards your membership. And I mean, it depends on the location, the type of rewards and benefits they offer to, you know, what extremes, but I'm telling you, there is a ample way to achieve 50% off or more on your membership. So go check them out. 10839 Hotworks at Hardin Valley Road. Bill, we'll roll right into the weekend rotation. We talked about it a little bit. They've got a guy or two they can put together, talking about Missouri. Javon Pimental has been their rock, you know, on the weekend. He's the guy that, you know, 8 of his 9 games that he has started have resulted in really tight games, meaning 3 runs or less. 3 of those have been 1-run games. So the one outlier that Pimental has, the Georgia game, he gave up 7 earned runs in 3 1/3. That's his outlier. Other than that, he has done a phenomenal job of giving the Missouri Tigers a chance to win the game.
And there you have it. You know, you've got a guy like that on the mound. When if they've got everything working on a given night, you know, it's going to be difficult for any team to put runs on the board. But, you know, that said, you know, we'll see how he fares against this Tennessee offense.
Yeah, and it's nothing is set right now for Missouri as far as who is going to go when. I'm not sure with this one. I don't know. We've got Chris Stamos slated to go in game 1, Drew Beam in game 2 for Tennessee, and then obviously, as we could expect by this point, having that third game open for, you know, for options. You know, it's likely Xander Sechrist, or if this is a game where you really run away from Missouri, a series that you run away from the Tigers, do you do something different and a little more creative there? But it all boils down to, I mean, the key to the whole thing in terms of the pitching side, obviously a guy like Stamos needs to give you a good open. You hope for 3 solid innings from him. But like Nate Snead is when and how of Nate Snead will continue to be the pivot point of this pitching staff until further notice. So that's what you can expect from Tennessee for the first couple of days. But yeah, Pimental, not sure if he'll be Thursday or Friday, but he's going to be one of the two. Logan Lunsford is a guy that I've followed for a while, and it's an interesting arm, big righty, trying to develop into a consistent power arm, but it's just been hot and cold with him. You look at the ERA, it's not good, but it doesn't tell the whole story. It's been hot and cold with him. Like I said, he had six innings of shutout ball against Florida, where he had 8 strikeouts. Last weekend against LSU, he gave up 8 earned runs and 4 walks in 2 2/3. So just not knowing what to expect there from him, but they do have the arm to watch in the bullpen. Ron Maddock, he is another lefty that has been really, really good for them. His numbers have actually got a little better in SEC play. 9 2/3, 14 strikeouts to just 1 walk in league play so far coming out of relief. So that's one there, because if you can have a situation, if you're Missouri, Pimental gives you a good outing and you can get to Matic, you know, that's kind of what their recipe would like to be.
Now you're looking on the other side, you know, a couple of guys that UT, you know, we've talked about those guys needing to step up for Tennessee. We've saw some guys step up last weekend, Logan. First of all, let's talk about Marcus Phillips.
Yeah.
He only pitched a one hitter, but boy, was that a big hitter. And how much confidence can a Marcus Phillips take out of coming into the game on the line, you know, series on the line, everything on the line for the weekend? He comes in and, you know, does nothing but throw strikes hard and gets that final out of the to clinch the series. How much confidence does Marcus have from that?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned, because, you know, it was a little tense there for like a fan that's been following along and paying attention and knowing that the capability that Marcus Phillips has. Man, that guy has thrown more innings. I know we haven't seen it like on paper or on the TV screen, but that guy has thrown more innings, you know, in the bullpen than just about anybody.
Right. He has. Yeah.
So there has been some soreness issues pop up, minor soreness stuff that's kind of derailed things. And when you're getting going in SEC play and you're looking for options and a guy's not available and you have to quickly pivot to something else. And it just that back then that just changed the whole dynamic. But back to Phillips now, you know, you were asking me, hey, who's up? Who's up? And Kirby's out there just trying to finish this thing off. And, you know, Phillips is warming up. And you felt like it was a 4-run lead for one inning. But the way the game was going, the game flow, you just felt like, okay, let's, you know, leave Kirby in to see if he can do this. And then it got to a point, like you said, just need one out.
Yeah,
and a couple of runs had been a couple of home runs by at that point. So you're thinking, all right, you know, we got to bring in a different look. This is Kirby from the left side with his funk. And now we can bring in Phillips, this power righty, just to get one out. And it worked. And that's, you mentioned it, it's just that one batter, but it can do such momentum building for Marcus Phillips, a guy who broke the ice in SEC play by getting arguably the most important out of the year so far.
Absolutely, it was. And like I said, he came in, he threw hard, you know, threw strikes. And his teammates mobbed him after the game. That was really a nice scene to see. Yeah, another guy that, you know, we talked about him last week. You know, Aaron Combs came in against LSU and just had a terrific outing. Well,
oh, man.
He did as well Saturday. 4 1/3 scoreless innings against Kentucky at a time where his teammates needed somebody to come in and shut Kentucky down, and Aaron did just that. So, you know, as I said several weeks ago, for Tennessee to reach the potential that they have, to get where they want to get, they need Aaron Combs pitching well. We've seen that the last two weekends. That's awesome.
Yes, and you and I both felt like the – you know, he opened things up on the downswing in terms of like SEC play and his first couple appearances, you know, and that seems to be out of his system. Hopefully it keeps going, because if it does, even something close to that, that's going to be a difference maker. You know, you and I talked to Aaron back on the first episode of this season, and, you know, it's, I wonder how much is coming to fruition for that pitching staff. You know, he talked to us about, this was early on. This was like, what, the end of January? And he was talking to us about how some of the guys, he really loved how some of the guys are being so receptive. There's a lot of new faces and a little bit of turnover in that department. But, you know, he really liked the fact that the guys that have been there, like himself, were able to, you know, give instruction, put a hand around a shoulder, but also it was reciprocal. You know, and so he touched on that in January, and here we are now where the pitching staff, that's where the holes lie. He's having a better performance. You have a guy like Marcus Phillips, who's been waiting his turn, so to speak, in a big moment. You know, I wonder how much has come to fruition in that pitching department, to where those guys are really leaning on each other and saying, hey, you know what? We've got this lineup behind us that can support us. Let's go out and try to execute at our best and let things fall where they may.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's often said in sports, by this time even in a freshman year, these guys aren't freshmen anymore. You know, they've got that,
right.
they've got that time under their belt. They've seen, you know, seen the best what the SEC has to offer, and you know, they're growing up and beginning to contribute like you would hope they would contribute. Tennessee has some young guys that are in that situation right now that have figured out, hey, I belong here. I can do it. It's time to go contribute.
We'll see if they can contribute against the Missouri Tigers. Like I said, I'm expecting, you know, definitely a series win. And like I said, it, you know, I don't like to get greedy, but man, a sweep right here would set the stage for, you know, these last few weekends to really just, you know, take a lot of weight off. But, you know, at the same time, you don't want to take this series too lightly. So I think this, based on Tony's words, I don't expect this particular group to walk into this series thinking, you know, too highly of themselves. There's going to be a lot of messages from Tony to the club about respecting this opponent. And, you know, these guys are going to go out there and, you know, put pedal to the metal out of respect to competition, I do believe.
Yeah, and as I said, I have a feeling there'll be some reminders of what Missouri did to them last year up in Columbia. So, I don't think there's going to be a letdown. If the letdown was going to happen, I think it happened early against Western Carolina on Tuesday night. And of course, it didn't last long, you know, from that standpoint. You know, fortunately, Western Carolina was, you know, they're good mid-major, but they're not a strong enough mid-major to really make Tennessee struggle to win unless Western Carolina was playing its absolute best, which they didn't either. So that I'll circle back and say, there was a letdown early in that game last night, but it didn't last long, so I don't expect a letdown this weekend. And then, you know what another good thing is about being back in the friendly confines of Lindsey Nelson Stadium this week? We don't have to see those god-awful pink hats that we saw in Lexington last week. I kept looking for Ashley Judd to show up somewhere, but, you know, I don't know what that was all about. I really don't want to know.
Yeah, I don't. I asked. At first I didn't want to ask, and then I had to ask. And still don't have a solid response. So, yeah, we'll let that one be. But, yeah, just look, Kentucky, I like the fact, like I told you, Bill, I like the fact that you can theoretically fit 7,000 in there to watch. I mean, that's important for super regionals and big matchups like this.
Right.
But other parts of the atmosphere was a little bit different. definitely they didn't have the logistics down to, you know, service that many people,
right?
In a logical way, like in terms of, but you know, to be honest, L&S went through that, and now it's better.
It still does to a certain extent. You know, once all the renovations are finished, you know, that's going to be a completely different ballpark. But you're right. Yeah, Lindsey Nelson did go through that for a while.
Yeah, but hey, no qualms about it because at the end of the day, I was able to drive up on a beautiful day. To see the Vols take care of the Wildcats and a thriller, one of the best games of the year at this point, one of the best series of the year, got home before the sundown. So, no complaints from my department. Bill, before we get out, do you have any parting thoughts or shots?
Not really, other than what we've talked about. You know, you hope for a sweep this weekend and move on, in great shape if you can just avoid a losing streak, you know, avoid losing two or three in a row in the SEC. You're going to be in great shape once the season ends and the regional and super regional sites are put in place. So, you know, just keep doing what they're doing.
Yeah, and you know how I'd like to point out, you know, I mentioned Pimental. When he goes, they seem to, you know, whatever it is, whatever that component he offers them, there's a lot of tight games when he's involved. And he's a guy that they can count on to go five or six. Like I said, the one outlier was Georgia. Mm-hmm. Really good lefty, mixes it up, has a really good changeup. But also, Logan Lunsford, you know, I mentioned him having the high ERA. It's north of six. I think he's touching seven.
Right.
There was a point in time early in the year that Missouri was like, whoever they're playing, you could take it to the bank of that game going 20 or more total runs between the two teams. Some cases 30. and so I think the pitching has got a little bit better. And it has for Lunsford to a degree. The past six games he's appeared, the game total has been 13 or less. And a lot of those have been single digit totals. When you're doing that, you know, you're giving yourself a chance.
Right.
I think Tennessee's going to buck that trend this weekend, but there's that, you know, that's Logan Lunsford, I would say, is a good example of the ERA not telling the whole story. I'm not saying that, you know, he's done great by any means, but there's some stuff on the surface that, you know, kind of don't tell the fact that, hey, you know, he, I know it's an inconsistent Florida team, but six innings of shutout ball, eight strikeouts, like, you know, but nonetheless, I expect Tennessee to not overlook their opponent. Folks, please don't overlook Crumble Cookies. Go check out the confetti milkshake cookie. That is my pick to click this week, along with, we'll go with Dalton Bargo. I think I swung and missed with the Villeneuve proposition, you know, last weekend.
But unfortunately, he did a couple of times too.
Yeah, so I'm going with Dalton Bargo here to my pick to click for Crumble is the confetti milkshake cookie. My pick to click this weekend is Dalton Bargo going up against his former team with his current team, telling them, reminding them of that Green Bay Packer weather and that sweep from last season.
Right.
I think it's going to bode well for the boys in orange. And I think Bargo couldn't have a better moment than hitting a home run against his former team.
Yeah, that would certainly be sweet for Dalton if he could do that. So I'll go along right with you. Dalton's my pick to click as well.
Thank you, Bill. It is now time for us to check out and check the end of the Braves game, I do believe. So, folks, thanks for joining us on
still
this.
3-1. Yep.
Yep. 3-1
now. 3-1
now,
yes.
Yeah, if Ronaldo Lopez is doing Max Fried any justice, we better get the heck out of here. So,
all right. Sounds great.
Yeah, man, it was fun. Folks, thanks for joining us. We will see you on the other side of Missouri and Tennessee. Are you struggling trying to find the right approach to a healthy lifestyle? HotWorks has all the tools you need. The infrared saunas provide many different ways for you to experience a fresh start. Join us at HotWorks today for the Summer Body Series. It's as simple as walking through the door at 10839 Hardin Valley Road. Enroll today for just $20 with the no prorated fan run family discount. Just call 865-297-3668. And don't forget to ask about teacher, student, and military benefits.